Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Canty and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. The news of the day is Saints head coach Sean Payton stepping down. We're going to take you live to his press conference in New Orleans right now.
I'm kind of a Ted Lasso fan, and I do have a regret. 15 seasons, 16 years here, and I've got like the best female owner in the world of sports. And, you know, we don't do biscuits here in New Orleans, but we do king cake. So where's Mrs. B? I also have like 100 of them for the media and everyone else that's here to kind of celebrate the Mardi Gras season. I want to start and bounce around here, but I want to start with a series of thank yous. It's important. And so thank you, Mrs. Benson, for being no better. There could be no better owner for me to have worked for, starting with your late husband, Mr. B, Tom Benson. When I was sitting around last night thinking about how I wanted this to unfold, I Google search Breeze, and it's like, I hate following Breeze. And he brought up some of the same stories. You know, Mr. B was always one of those guys that for every meeting I had with him, it was never football related. It was always about something other than football. And he had a dish of Tootsie Rolls and Hershey Kisses. I'd go in there. We'd talk about family. We'd talk about anything other than the Saints. And I miss him. And I realize the time and the timing of me coming here back in 2006 was perfect. And obviously us having some early success worked out. But I wish he was here. And Mrs. B, you've been fantastic carrying on everything about his legacy. And I know he would be extremely proud and is extremely proud. So he's not here right now, but he is. And so I thank the two of you for being great owners. And I mean that beyond just being owners. I thought about this. I can't think of one time the answer was no. Now, it might be like, oh, we're trying to do something and we don't have enough time to remodel. And so it might have been time driven, but the answer was never no. And look, that's easy when Mickey has the credit card and I've got the wish list. I'd like to thank Dennis Lausch, our president and a good friend, for people talk about culture and like, what's the secret teams right now, 8 teams, 9 teams, they're all searching for the right culture. Everyone wants to know how, and it's very difficult. And yet, if I was writing a book, I'd say it's also very simple. The alignment of ownership, your club president, your general manager, your head coach, right through your roster, that sounds easy. But like any relationship, they require work, right? I mean, it requires time and energy. It requires a similar goal. It requires us all to kind of like lay down our arms and our egos for the best of the team. And if we ask that of our players, then certainly we have to ask that of our organization. So it's sometimes I was fortunate at a young age to really be around some special coaches. My high school coach, my college coach, and then in this league, you know, you sometimes get jobs and it's coincidence. Sometimes it's good fortune. Sometimes it's not good fortune. But those roots for me, or those bloodlines for me, as I look back on it, were extremely extremely important. And I just met with our staff and I told our young coaches, man, have your feet grounded in, you know, in the job you have. And these things that you want very fast will happen, but they may not happen in the timing that you want them. But the point I'm making about Dennis is it's like a good baseball team right up the middle, from the catcher to the pitcher to the infield to the outfield. We were always in concert. It didn't mean we always agreed, but we were always in concert. And for a first-time head coach 16 years ago, that was important, and more important now that I look back on it than I ever realized. And so I thank you and appreciate you. We had a lot of trips. We had fun trips, crazy trips, where the very first year before we drafted Reggie Bush, we were out selling tickets and listening to 80s music and trying to figure out who knew the words. And then when we drafted Reggie Bush, we sold out. And I'm like, thank God we don't have to go on those, like, those freaking ticket bandwagon drives. We've been sold out ever since. Mickey Loomis, a dear friend. I would say, more importantly, a friend. Just as importantly, my general manager, and just as importantly, the person that gave me this opportunity. You know, he took a chance on a first-time head coach, and you guys know kind of the batting average and the challenges for these positions. They're hard. Every year we're reminded of that. And I've written about this. I've spoken about it. And look, I had just interviewed in Green Bay with the late Ted Thompson. Man, I thought I had a great interview. And when I landed here, it was right after Katrina in January. And many of you remember that. And I just thought, when I met Mickey, I thought, man, I like this guy. He's got a heck of a task ahead of him. And I kept looking at my flip phone at the time, waiting for that Green Bay area code to come in. And I got the message that evening that they had gone in a different direction. And I remember just throwing the phone into the pillow and thinking, holy cow. And it was the best thing that happened. And sometimes, again, you don't have any control over that. And so he trusted his gut. And beyond just hiring me, I can't think, we've had disagreements multiple times, and yet we've always been in concert. And so, like, one of my biggest, not concerns, but one of my biggest second thoughts was, man, I don't want to not be around this really, really good friend of mine. And so, God, this... And so that's not going to happen. I mean, I'm actually moving into another property here locally, but more than my general manager, more than the person that hired me, more than all of those things, is, I would say, one of my best friends, and I appreciate that. I appreciate that. I mean, I could give you 1,000 stories that would be interesting because our personalities are so different. Like, he walks slow. It bothers me. I want him to pick it up. When you make a decision like this, you spend time with your loved ones. You spend time with your family. I've got, you know, a daughter who's out west in media trying to become what many of you are, and a son who's in college. A wife, Skyline, who we've been together for many years, 10 years, and got married last June. And I've confided in those guys quite a bit and talked about these decisions quite a bit. And I appreciate them. And they've been extremely just good listeners, because ultimately, like, we all want happiness for our friends. We want happiness and health for our friends and family. Those are the two things I think about, maybe as I've grown older, if your children are happy and healthy, then you're blessed, I think. And so I feel like there's been a very steady listening group here. And without any angle relative to, hey, what is it that you're looking for? Because honestly, as I sit here today, and this is okay, I don't know what's next. And look, I read the reports and I understand.
It's Kenny and Golic Jr. and you're listening to the Sean Payton press conference on ESPN Radio. And Mike, Sean Payton gave us an awful lot to react to, and it's clear he's being nostalgic in this introductory portion of his press conference, because there's got to be a lot of feels going through him right now as he's stepping down from a role that he's had for the past 16 seasons.
Yep, you saw a lot of those memories come up, and you heard, I think, the real critical part at the end for what we're getting into. Sean Payton's future and what that holds here. He seemed noncommittal on it. We'll react to that and more of what this means for him and this now vacant Saints head coaching job next here. Candy and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golic Jr. and Chris Kenny. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Get at us on the CNG hotline. We're trying to figure out where the Saints job ranks among the head coaching vacancies around the National Football League. The number's 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. That's how you get on board. But Gojo, we just heard from Sean Payton in his press conference, which is still ongoing. And it was clear that he wanted to take a trip down memory lane, because it is all hitting him right now, the fact that he is stepping down as the Saints head coach.
It is. And you saw he clearly went back to a lot of those spots. It was going to be emotional. Like we said, this is a different relationship. Like, you can feel however you want to about Sean Payton, Drew Brees, and what went on there. But, like, their relationship going through trauma with that city, because that's what happened when Hurricane Katrina hit and all the things that they were a part of on the other side of that. They went through trauma with that city. So the relationship is always going to be a little bit more than most places have with their head coach and quarterback. That's just the way that that's going to be. So, Chris, I thought that part was interesting among all this, because I think our rush and a lot of people's was to immediately jam this puzzle piece in with the Dallas Cowboys job. Mike McCarthy and that non-committal Jerry Jones towards his current head coach, and a guy that had been around there, knows the star, and Jerry Jones certainly has a relationship with. But Chris, as we heard him start to talk about this, I saw the quote from Sean Payton, and we'll get you more of this sound, but the quote from Sean Payton in the press conference was, "I don't like the word retirement. I still have a vision for doing things in football. I'll be honest with you, that might be coaching again at some point. I don't think it's this year, but maybe in the future. But that's not where my heart is right now." Chris, that sounds an awful lot like a gap year doing television before he takes that Dallas Cowboys head coaching job. And maybe it'll take longer for that. I don't want to discount human feelings in all of this, because like we said, he just got done with an historic run in New Orleans. But if his heart really isn't coaching, there's going to be a guy in Jerry Jones that is sort of going up to him every day this offseason, reminding him what could be.
No doubt about it. And so that's the part that seems a little bit different from some of the departures that we've seen from head coaches in the past, whether it be Tony Dungy or Bill Cowher. When they stepped away and they dabbed into media, we pretty much knew that those coaches weren't coming back, although there were overtures by organizations trying to lure them back in. With Sean Payton, he left the door cracked open. He said that, you know, there could be a possibility that he does come back to the National Football League as a head coach. And so I think that increases the likelihood that we see him back on the sidelines sooner rather than later. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to be in 2022, but I do anticipate Sean Payton coming back at some point in the near future, just because he is 58 years of age, and you are talking about him being the fourth active most winningest coach in the National Football League, behind some pretty legendary coaches in their own right. So I look at this as an opportunity for Sean Payton to get his bearings about him and to survey the landscape and what vacancies will be open to him in order to leverage the best possible deal when he does decide to consummate that marriage that we know is coming between him and Jerry Jones, and him taking the job as the Dallas Cowboys head coach. Because I do believe that that's the only job that he'll consider now that he stepped away from the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, I mean, he's been eating caviar for too long. Like, you heard him talk about this in the press conference. It's worth remembering what the situation was for New Orleans. He talked about they were going out trying to sell tickets and get people on the PSLs and all that before they drafted Reggie Bush, trying to ignite some groundswell of support around this franchise. And then all the early success they had there, obviously the Super Bowl win. The Saints have been a team now that have been perennially talked about as contenders, even in recent years, though they didn't get over the hump at the end with Drew Brees. They were part of some important playoff games. They were one seeds in the NFC. They built this job. He and Drew built this job into something that it was not when they found it there. All that is to say, Chris, I don't think he's looking to go back and start over square one. This isn't Urban Meyer wanting to try the NFL for the first time and banking on a talented rookie as your quarterback here. I'm sure that a situation, if it's not perfectly the Cowboys, which I'm with you, I think that's the only one he's going to have eyes for. Mm-hmm. A veteran quarterback who you know is going to be there at a place that you know cares about this enough to let you continue to fund things like they did in New Orleans, like Mickey Loomis and company did down there constantly, as Mike Triplett, our Saints reporter, said, using one credit card to pay off another so we can be good in the here and now.
Yeah, but I also thought there's a key takeaway there, and the familiarity aspect with that Dallas job is only going to help Jerry Jones's cause. Because he did talk about the importance of being in concert with ownership, with the team president, with the general manager, all the way down to the quarterback. It feels like there's a natural opportunity with the Dallas Cowboys. And let's be honest, Gojo, it doesn't feel like there's that same rapport throughout the Cowboys organization right now. Because we heard Stephen Jones come out last week and give Mike McCarthy the vote of confidence in saying that he absolutely expects that Mike McCarthy's going to be back as the head coach next season. Jerry Jones didn't do that. And we know that if it doesn't come from Jerry Jones's mouth, then it really doesn't matter. It feels like Jerry has eyes for somebody else that can get him to where he wants to be, which is competing for a championship. And Mike McCarthy's fallen well short of the mark. So sooner rather than later, we're going to be talking about the Dallas Cowboys having a new head coach, because Mike McCarthy's not going to be long for this job. I know that they seem inclined to give him another year and to not blow this thing up. But Jerry Jones don't have that many more years. He ain't buying green bananas. So at some point, you're going to have to get a head coach in there that you feel like can be a part of the solution rather than somebody that's just, you know, there as a go-between with the defensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator and Kellen Moore. You're going to have to get a head coach on the sidelines that can be the difference in winning playoff games as opposed to being a part of the reason why you lose them. Because we said going into the wild card round, between the 49ers and the Cowboys, the guy on the 49ers sideline with the headset was markedly better than the guy with the headset on the Cowboys sideline, and that proved itself out, especially late in that game. So at some point, Jerry Jones is going to have to face facts that he's got to find an upgrade at the head coaching spot in order for him to be able to get to a Super Bowl.
It's a relationship business, and man, when your relationship happens to be with, like you said, one of the handful of coaches in this league who's a legitimate weapon, who comes over and changes the way your organization operates, that's a chance I have a feeling is going to be too good for Jerry Jones to pass up with Sean Payton. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get to your calls on where the Saints job ranks. More sound from Sean Payton's press conference and Chris Canty's top five from the NFL divisional round after this word from Wendy's. Right now, guys, at Wendy's, see what all the hype's about. They got their new guaranteed hot and crispy fries. We're talking real, natural-cut potatoes, perfectly sprinkled in sea salt, guaranteed to be hot and crispy down to the very last fry. Or they'll replace them. These aren't just the typical fries you add to a meal. No, no, no. These are fries worth adding a meal to. So abandon the old, cold, and soggy. Head on over to Wendy's today, where your fries are guaranteed to be hot and crispy. At participating U.S. Wendy's, the top five from the wild NFL division round that was, next on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Kenny and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, taking your calls on where the Saints job ranks in the NFL head coaching openings on the CNG hotline. Let's go out to Hugh in Michigan. Hugh, you're on Kenny and Golic Jr. What you got?
Hi, I'm Hugh in Sheboygan, Michigan. I've been a Saints fan for a few years, and I got my problems with Sean Payton. I got my problems because I think that he cost them two trips to the Super Bowl. One in particular was when they were playing the Rams in the NFC Championship game. They had a first down on the 11-yard line with about a minute and 58 seconds to go. And what did he do? He threw a pass. which eliminated the Rams from having to call a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
Then he made a running play, and then the next play was that famous no-call interference penalty that never got called, and they should have won the game. However, that play should have never happened. That should have been the third running play to make the Rams call the third timeout. They kick the field goal, they go ahead, and they leave the Rams with very little time on the clock to try and win the game. I think that cost them a trip to the Super Bowl. And then maybe to a lesser extent the year before that with Minnesota, they tried to intercept the pass on the last play of the game. Minnesota scored about a 75-yard touchdown.
Hugh and all, and like in that one, and we appreciate the call, like, he didn't try to intercept that pass. Like, the Minneapolis miracle is not on Sean Payton in that spot. That was a video game glitch come to life. So, I don't know, man. If you're going to look in the entire 16-year or whatever it ended up being 10-year of Sean Payton, there are certainly, Chris, conversations about him and Drew Brees and the fact that they did only win one Super Bowl. The conversations we have about Aaron Rodgers in that way. But
yep.
I'm not going to nitpick too much because those instances have names. Like, those losses were so famous because of some of the things that went on that they've got names after the fact, and that and the Nickell Robey Coleman play.
Yeah, but here's the thing. He's right about what happened in 2018 against the Rams. There's no way Sean Payton should have called that pass to Michael Thomas. It ends up being the same play that the Seattle Seahawks ran on the goal line in Super Bowl 49 against the Patriots, and we all know how that one turned out. But Sean Payton at least delivered one championship to the New Orleans Saints fan base and countless other division titles. So I don't know what Hugh has to complain about. I don't know, Gojo. We got top five, bottom five because it is Tuesday. We might have to put that call as honorable mention on your bottom five. We might have to. But with that being said, it's time for me to get to the top five of what we saw in the divisional round this past weekend. So, Matlack, if you would.
Which teams were great?
Touch and tackle at the 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
What player was not?
Does he hang on? Intercepted! He couldn't hang on!
This is the NFL Top 5, Bottom 5.
Number 5.
All right, number 5 on my top 5 goes out to John Hussey. Who? Yeah, a lot of people might not know who John Hussey is. He is the head referee for the crew that called the Bills-Chiefs game on Sunday night. His crew happened to get the memo. It's the playoffs. The fans didn't show up to see John Hussey throw flags all over the field. They showed up to watch what we saw from Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes. They didn't stand in the way of us witnessing greatness. They only called a total of 4 penalties for 25 yards, Gojo. So juxtapose that from what we saw earlier on Sunday from Sean Hockley, who was the referee for the Bucks-Rams game. And he happens to have the distinction of being the first official to flag Tom Brady for unsportsmanlike conduct. And then we had the whole controversy with the Eric Reddle personal foul, but giving the ball back to the Rams instead of the Bucs continuing their possession. Don't be like Sean Hockley. Don't be like Jerome Boger from the wild card round in the Raiders-Bengals game. Be more like John Hussey. We don't need to see the referee all up in the video, dancing, throwing flags. We need more officials to be like John Hussey.
Hussey Hive in the building on this show. We're officially a Hussey crew here on Canty and Golic Jr.
Number 4.
Number 4, Gabriel Davis. He was on the receiving end of 8 passes from Josh Allen in that game on Sunday night and becomes the first player in the process to have 4 touchdown receptions in a single postseason game. So when you make history, we got to put you in top 5 on Canty and Golic Jr. There are a lot of great wide receivers in the history of this league that haven't had the opportunity to do that. Jerry Rice among them, Randy Moss among them. None of those guys did what we saw from Gabriel Davis on Sunday night. It was clear that the Kansas City Chiefs defense, they weren't going to let Stephon Diggs beat them. But Gabriel Davis took advantage of all of the one-on-one opportunities that he got last night, and he cooked that secondary. All of his touchdown catches came from 18 yards or more. Gojo, pretty damn impressive for a guy that's considered the number 2 receiver.
Gabriel Davis gave Mike Hughes a head fake that I think still has him lost somewhere in a different dimension right now. That was one of the cruelest things I've ever seen on a football field, and I'm so glad we got to witness it.
Number 3.
All right, number 3. San Francisco 49ers defensive coordinator DeMeco Ryans. Yes, I'm putting a coach on here. DeMeco Ryans. The game plan that he came up with to stop Aaron Rodgers and company was masterful. His defense forced five, count them, five, Gojo, five 3-and-outs, and the Green Bay Packers only had 10 possessions. And two other Packers drives, his unit forced a fumble, and they blocked a field goal. San Francisco held Green Bay to less than 5 yards of play and only 263 total yards of offense. An absolutely dominant performance from D'Amico Ryans, somebody that should get more consideration for a head coaching job this hiring cycle. But he can't interview for a job right now because his team is actually in the NFC Championship game.
Caviar problems as usual, but I'm with you. We've seen so many interviews doled out. Somebody go ahead and give that man a call.
Number two.
You're listening to Top 5 on Kenny Golick Jr. Number two on my list, Jeffrey Simmons. Gojo, you know we're always going to get a big fella some love. I know you always have a soft spot in your heart for offensive linemen, but I got to go to the guy that made a mockery out of the Bengals offensive lineman. Jeffrey Simmons was a one-man wrecking ball to the tune of 8 tackles, 3 sacks, 4 pressures on 39 pass rush snaps. He led the charge for the defensive front for the Titans that logged 9 sacks on Joe Burrow. The Titans hit Joe Burrow 1 of every 4 dropbacks while only blitzing 7 times. That is absolutely how you get it done. The Titans may have caught the fade, but it wasn't Jeffrey Simmons out there catching L's because he was absolutely dominant.
The guy that was the point of the spear for a group with 9 sacks, I've been a part of some lopsided performance where the offense didn't live up. It had to be hard to jog off the field on that Titans offense and look Jeffrey Simmons and the rest of that defense in the eyes that day.
Number one.
I mean, there's only one place to go, right? There's only one place to go for number one. Josh Patrick Allen and Patrick Mahomes, right? We have to put those guys there, the performance that they had on Sunday night. In the final 2 minutes of that game, we had 4 scores, 3 lead changes, a total of 25 points. Like, those guys absolutely put on a show. The game came down to a coin toss in overtime. It was the first game in postseason history where both quarterbacks threw for over 300 yards, ran for over 50 yards, and no interceptions. An instant classic in a game that should leave both fan bases optimistic about their current futures. So, I can't say enough about Josh Allen and Pat Mahomes for what they did. And Gojo, you said this yesterday in our show. The NFL is going to be in good hands when guys like Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers step away. And a big reason why is because you got these two guys quarterbacking in the AFC.
Chris, I don't disagree with you on that at all. They were spectacular. Those guys absolutely deserve to be the number one spot, maybe even more than one spot in all this. I want to make sure I'm abundantly clear on this. You put an official on this list before you put a single kicker on after a weekend where 3 of the 4 games ended on field goals at the time that clock expired in regulation to win
games.
That's right. I just want to make that abundantly clear.
That's right. That happened. That happened. Because you know my stance on kickers, they're not football players. They're barely even people. Now, what I will say is Robbie Gould and Evan McPherson, you guys, firmly people. Firmly people. And I thought about putting Evan McPherson on here because he actually had the stones to tell Joe Burrow when he was driving that football last second to set up that field goal. He had the stones to tell Joe Burrow before he went out on the field to kick that field goal that it looks like the Bengals are going to the AFC Championship game. So shout out to Evan McPherson for having that kind of confidence in himself and then stepping up and delivering. But that still doesn't mean that he gets a chance to make my top five. Maybe when you do your top five, you can have him in there. But until a football player does something reminiscent of what we see football players do, which is block, which is tackle, which is catch, which is throw, then you're probably not going to make my top five.
All right, there you go. Kickers, just take your status as people and keep it moving. That is as much as you're going to get from Chris Hansen.
Yeah, and people stop
at
me with the Pat McAfee show and stop at me with Steve Weatherford. Both of them guys know how I feel about damn kickers. Stop it.
This isn't new news, guys. Chris Canty is not new to this. He is true to this when it comes to his position on kickers. That's how you jumpstart the new year with Body Armor Light, the low-calorie sports drink, hydrating your active lifestyle. Shop now at retailers nationwide. We'll get to the bottom five in a little bit, but coming up next, in addition to your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, we'll also try and figure out how much AD can help L.A. next here, Canty and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio.
This is ESPN Radio.
Canty and Golick Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Taking your calls on where the Saints job ranks among the NFL head coaching openings. And we got to go out to Randy in Minneapolis. Randy, you're on Canty and Golick Jr.
Thank you. The Saints' job is the number one position, number one coach position that has to get filled first, because all the other jobs below it are a joke. New Orleans Saints are ready to go. They got a, they need a quarterback, but everything else is in place for them to be a Super Bowl contender starting next year.
Randy, isn't that a pretty big piece that's missing?
Yeah,
and while you're saying they're ready to go, they're ready to go without a quarterback?
Yes, you got Taysom Hill is a good, is a nice backup and a nice option, but he's not the, he's not their future. They just need a quarterback that's going to run that offense and then go with it. I mean, Sean Payton, yeah, they'll run his offense for a couple more years, but otherwise it's going to be fun to watch because they're not, they're really close, ready to go again.
See, this is the problem, though, with this, Randy, and we appreciate the call, is they're going to run Sean Payton's offense. Like, we can't make it sound like play calling and the way that you run, install, and coach an offense is just something that easy to replicate. Like, even with all of this, like I was there in 2014 and 15 in the off seasons. Pete Carmichael was there as the offensive coordinator. And everyone involved kind of understood this was Drew's offense for a lot of those years. Like, when you have a Hall of Fame quarterback at that level, Chris, you know, like, the way you even call an offense, when you can put all of the numbers, tag words, all these things, these long play calls that everyone loves trotting out before the draft to show off the transition to the NFL, you get to do that when you've got a dude at quarterback that understands as much as Drew did. So it's not like you could just dump that offense in the lap of any quarterback, and it is going to run or install the same way it did with that quarterback.
Yeah, to borrow a phrase from Bomani Jones, encyclopedic knowledge of the offense. And that's exactly what Drew Brees had when you talk about the mastery level that he understood Sean Payton's playbook. And so, yeah, you're not going to have that. And there's going to be a huge gap in terms of Sean Payton being in those meeting rooms and being able to go through the call sheet with Drew Brees or whatever starting quarterback that the Saints have out there and being able to check off the plays in the game plan that that quarterback actually likes. They call it the dot meeting. I don't know that you're just going to be able to pick up with Pete Carmichael because he spent time with Sean Payton and be able to have that same synergy with the quarterback or the same understanding of the playbook that's there for the Saints offense. I just don't think it works like that. So, yeah, the quarterback piece is a pretty big piece that's missing. And with the Saints salary cap issue, I mean, I don't know that this is an attractive job. I don't know that the Saints are ready to roll. I think this is going to be a process in them finding another quarterback, and that puts them with, I don't know, Gojo, half the NFL in terms of where they're at with their current quarterback situation. So, New Orleans Saints, welcome to how the other half lives. You found out how life is after Drew Brees, and now you're going to continue to deal with that issue on top of trying to find out what life is going to be like without one of the best head coaches in the National Football League.
And you always need one or the other. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Like, if you're going to attract one, it's usually, hey, we got a young quarterback we can sell a team. Or, hey, we've got a veteran coach. Like, the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're going to get to sell people on the fact that they get to come play for Mike Tomlin, a guy who has never had below 500 record in his time as a head coach with that particular team.
He did that thing with Mason Rudolph and Duck Hodges, and he still was 500. If he can do it with those two guys, he can do it with anybody. There's an attractiveness to that.
And, like, if you were the Saints and you had Sean Payton going into next year, Chris, they were, down the last three games of the season, a team who had a path laid out before them still to be involved in the playoffs in the much more competitive NFC in a season where they had to use Jameis Winston, where they had to use Taysom Hill, where they got all the way down to having to use Ian Book, their rookie fourth-round draft pick. So the fact that Sean Payton kept them in there would have been a selling point. He don't live here anymore. And so all of this is going to have to be about downgrading expectations. Like, having Teddy Bridgewater come back home may not be the worst thing that you could find in New Orleans at this point, based on what you can afford and based on who's going to want to come there at this point after you've got to make all these decisions. So we got a lot of that still in the hopper here. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Get at us on the CNG hotline with what the future looks like, not only for the Saints, what we can expect for them, where this job ranks in now the 9 head coaching vacancies in the NFL, and what we think is next for Sean Payton. So coming up next, we did have Sean Payton's press conference off of the top of the hour here. We will get you some of the sound from that here. What the now former Saints head coach had to say about his future, both in the immediacy and around football here going forward. That's coming up next. Canty and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN+.
Thanks for listening to Canty and Golic Jr., the podcast. You can check the guys out live weekday afternoons at 4 Eastern on ESPN Radio and on ESPN+.